Amen. Oh, it's good to be in church this morning. Amen. God is so good. I tell you what, like one preacher said, he just gets gooder and gooder. Amen. And thank the Lord for his blessings this morning. Take your Bibles with me and go to the book of Acts chapter number 5 in your Bibles this morning. The book of Acts chapter number 5. I feel a sermon coming on. Amen. Yeah. Like one preacher said, he said, you know, when I started preaching, he said, it started in my toes. He said, well, after it started crawling up my leg, he said, by the time it reached my mouth, I just couldn't help myself. Amen. Praise God for preachers. How many of you have a preacher in mind in your heart and your life that had an influence on your life? Yeah. And we thank God for these men. Amen. Thank God for men who just had a great influence in our lives. Preachers of the past and still going today, some serving the Lord, faithful. Man, I tell you what, that's what we need in our generation to generation. Well, Acts chapter 5, we're going to read a lot of this passage of Scripture. We're going to begin at verse number 12 in your Bibles this morning. So trust you'll follow along, please, as I read. Acts chapter 5, beginning with verse number 12. The Bible says here, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. That's on the temple there. And the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick unto the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one. And the high priest arose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hand upon the apostles and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came, and they that were with them, and called the council together, and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, the prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keepers standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within. Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. Then came one and told them, saying, behold, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. And when the captain with the officers brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? Behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. That's my text this morning, and the message is we ought to obey God rather than men. I want to preach on that thought this morning. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Bible this morning. And oh, Lord, thank you for what the Word does in us. Thank you. Your Word is rich unto all that call upon you. And Father, we ask your blessings once again as we open the Bible. Give us clarity of thought and clear minds and open hearts, Lord, that as you speak to each of us individually, Lord, that we would hear what you have to say. Lord, I pray that you take the Bible this morning and use it in each one of our lives where we're at for your glory and for your honor. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the passage of Scripture that we read this morning is a passage where the early church had come together to preach in Jerusalem there, and God used them in a great and mighty way. We find that there was a lot of people that were sick that were brought to them. They brought them on beds, and they brought them on couches. I always have to laugh. Can you imagine some people picking them up and carrying you in on the couch? Amen. It'd be good if you don't want to come to church tonight. Somebody pick up the couch and pick it up and just bring it in here and just set it right here on the front row, and you can just kind of lounge right out there. But you'd be here. Amen. So sometimes I find humor in the scriptures. Amen. There's some humor sometimes in the scripture. And so I can see them bringing them, but they brought them to Peter here, and God did a wonderful miracle of healing. Now, you say, preacher, do you believe in faith healers? I don't believe in faith healers. I believe in faith healing. And in this passage of Scripture, you know, God allowed the church to do many great miracles like this in the early church, so that the early church could be established and see a mighty and a powerful God. Now, we know that there's a time when the Bible came full. That which is perfect is come, the Bible. That which is in part is done away. We understand that we have the Word of God. That is our power. Without the Bible, we have no power. Without the Bible, we have nothing. And so, this mighty miracle was done here in the power of the Lord. But then they started preaching to the people, started teaching them that God loves them and that there's a saving power for their sins, that sin will keep them from heaven, but that God died for their sins and can forgive them and take them to heaven. There's no greater message than that. There's no greater message than to know that God died for our sins and cleanses us from all sin. No greater message than that. Why, Publishers Clearing House could walk into your front door today and give you your check for the next however many weeks for the rest of your life. And maybe that would make your life a little bit better, but I got news for you. There's an afterlife that God only can make better. Amen. I wouldn't mind if they came today in this life, but probably not going to happen. Amen? But here I see this passage of Scripture as they, in Jerusalem, were building the early church. And you know, the early church had a lot of people in it. God was working mightily. The Spirit of the Lord was there. And the Bible says that in Acts chapter 2, 3,000 souls got saved and added to the church. I mean, that God did a great thing. God wants people added to the church, and God wants people to be saved and baptized and serve the Lord. God wants people to get on board with Him and not live their lives in sin and wasting our lives. God wants us to get busy for God, do something for Him. That's what life's about. That's what life's about. Life's about doing something for God. You know, you only get one life. You only get one life. And that life is short, Scripture says. It's like a vapor, it appears. And then it's gone. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Oh, those are true words. Only what's done for God will last. And as I look at this passage of Scripture, I want you to notice some things about it that the Lord put upon my heart today. Number one, notice that they had a heart to do something for the Lord. Peter here, he said, I can't just do nothing. Amen. He said, I can't just sit. I got to do something for the Lord. And he got out there and he started preaching. Amen. Well, I'll tell you what this world needs. Good old-fashioned leather-lung barnstorming, window rattling, shingle pulling preachers. That's what this world needs. They don't need the kind with lace on their socks. Amen. We need the kind that rear back and say, this is what God said. That's the power of God right there in this book. This old book's got the power of God in it. Amen. So they said, all right, let's do something. So they started preaching. Man, people started getting saved. If you look in the previous chapter, previous verse here, and it says, verse 11, and great fear came upon all the church and as many as heard these things. Verse 14, and believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women. They want to do something for the Lord. They want to serve. Somebody once said that you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. I'll tell you what, if we love the Lord, we want to do something for God. I mean something. We want to do something. And sometimes we look at our talents and say, okay, I can use a talent for God. And God does use our talents. And sometimes we look at our treasures and we say, I can use some treasures for God. And God does use our treasures. And sometimes we say, I've got some time that I can use some of my time for the Lord. And God does use our time that we use for the Lord. But you know, I believe everybody who loves the Lord ought to do something. Do something for God. Amen? I mean, it could be a small thing to start with. It could be something small. You know, I think of Peter. He wanted to serve the Lord. He had a lot of zeal for the Lord. But it was an unbridled zeal, you know. And old Malchus was there. And they came and took Jesus in the garden. And boy, he got mad. He didn't like that. He took a sword and I don't think he was out for his ear. I think he was aiming for this right here. But he missed and took his ear off. And I think Peter had a love for the Lord. And it was kind of up and down because it wasn't shortly after that that he denied the Lord three times. And you ever feel like your Christian life's kind of like that? Like you want to do something, but yet you feel up and down. You feel like I'm really not what I should be. I'd like to do something, but I'm not what I should be. And all too often how those things, they keep us from stepping forward and doing what God's told us to do. And you know, there are things even that, if you have a treasure, it's easy to give. If you have time, it's easy to give. If you have talent, it's easy to give. But what about giving of ourselves? I think that's what Peter was doing. He said, Lord, use me. I want people for you. I want to tell them about you. I want to tell them how you died on that old rugged cross to save them from their sins. I want to tell them how they can know you. They want to do something for the Lord. They got out there and saw people saved, coming to church and growing. Boy, that's a wonderful thing. Amen? And you know, it's a wonderful thing. You know, and by the way, anybody should be welcome at church, at God's house. Listen, it doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what roads you've traveled, good or bad. God wants you in his house. He has something for you to do. He has something for you. God doesn't exclude anybody. I mean, if God put a woman named Rahab, who was a harlot, if God put her name in the hall of faith in Hebrews chapter 11, boy, I tell you what, thank God that God even wanted her to do something for him. Are you doing something for God? Are you doing something for God? Maybe you're content where you're at. A God called preacher, one preacher one time said, he said, God has called me to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. Amen? And I think there's a point to that. That's true. But they want to do something for God. Oh, would to God that you'd get something in your heart, that you'd ask God, God, what can I do for you? What can I do for you? God, you loved me so much. Can I return some love in some form to you? What can I do for you, God? It could be a simple thing. We find everyday people in Scripture. You know, there's more names in Scripture who did little things than names in Scripture of people who did big things. Did you know that? I don't think God forgets their labor of love and their service for the Lord. But they had a heart to do something for the Lord. I'll never forget when I was a teenage boy, I grew up in Colorado, and the snow gets deep there. It grows deep there. I mean, I tell you, it gets high. And I'll never forget, I'm driving up the church road one day, just a young teenage boy. And I think I just got my license. You know, when you're a teenager and you get your license, you just got to go drive. You don't care where you're going. Amen? Doesn't matter. And I got in the car, and I remember just driving up to the church. And I saw a church sign. You know what? The letters were kind of getting old and shabby. And I think there was an original coat of varnish or something on the sign. And I looked at that sign, and I said, you know what? Somebody needs to fix that sign. And God said, why don't you do it? And, you know, but the devil, he was there too. The devil, he said, not you. Somebody else can do it. Boy, can you imagine if we all listened to that voice of the devil? Not you. Or the devil said, oh, that's not significant. Don't do anything. I got me some paint. I got out there and got all them letters touched up. When I got done, put a coat of varnish over. I got done. And do you know what? I felt something in my heart that I could do something for God. And that meant something to me. Are you doing something for the Lord? Well, that's what they were doing here. They want to do something for the Lord. Well, notice secondly, first of all, I want you to notice they had a heart for souls. They had a heart for souls. They had a heart for that lost soul. Have you ever been in Walmart or a store, or maybe you know some relative in your family that you know they need the Lord? You know they need the Lord. And it breaks your heart because they're without the Lord. Well, the early church had this love for the soul. They loved the soul of man. And the soul of man is so important because that's the part of us that lives forever. This body's going to go to a grave, and it's going to go to the grave and deteriorate. But my soul's going to live somewhere forever. And oh, I want to tell you something. Jesus died for the soul of men. Jesus died for men and heart for the soul. They also had a heart to preach the gospel. We know in verse 42 what they did. It says, "And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." They had a heart. Jesus is still the answer. For the longing soul, he's still the answer. For the broken heart, the broken life. For the life steeped in sin. For the one who is away from God. For the one who's drifting aimlessly, Jesus is still the answer. For the one who doesn't know what they're going to do. For the one who wakes up tomorrow in a depressed state, Jesus is still the answer. For the one who wishes they had peace, he is the answer. He is the answer. Oh, can I tell you? And by the way, thank God for people who have a heart for people like that. I'm reminded of that great missionary C.T. Studd. He said these words. He said, "Some want to live within the sound of church and chapel bell, but I want to run a rescue shop within a yard of hell." What a heart. What a heart. Thank God that Jesus is still rescuing people, bringing them out of darkness into the light. God can still do that, and he can do that for you, friend. If you're not saved today, he can do it for you. You say, "I doubt it." Don't doubt Jesus. He turned water into wine. He healed the lame. He healed these people in this passage of Scripture. They had a love. They wanted to do something for God. But I want you to notice, secondly, that they had a heart of loyalty to God. They had a heart of loyalty. They were loyal to God. You know, where has loyalty gone? I'll be honest with you. It makes me mad when I see people despise our American flag. Let me just rant a little bit. Is that okay? Makes me mad when you pay football players millions of dollars a year and they can't even stand and put their hand over their heart for the national anthem, the country that's paying their salary. That bothers me. It bothers me when people wash the car, their dirty car, with the American flag. Where'd loyalty go? Where's loyalty gone? It's sad. It's sad. And you know, a loyalty for Christ. Notice this loyalty in verse 28. Saying, did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. They said, fellas, we're going to obey God before we obey you. We're going to listen to God. Where's that kind of loyalty today? Where'd that go? I want to tell you something. It wasn't this old world that died on an old rugged cross for me. It was the Lord Jesus Christ that died on that cross. We ought to be loyal to God. Loyal. I'm going to serve God faithfully all my life. Amen. By the way, that's our reason. That's our purpose. It's reasonable. A loyalty to God. Where's loyalty today? Where's loyalty today? My mother-in-law's late husband, Jim, was in the Air Force. And Lord only knows what he did, but he flew missions over Russia. And back in the Cold War time. Flew missions over to Russia. And I tried to prod him and say, tell me some of the things you did. He said, if I told you, I'd have to kill you. And I'm against that. Amen?
Amen.
I'm not for that. So he wouldn't. But you know what? He took secrets to his grave. You know why? Loyalty. Loyalty. Where's loyalty? Where's loyalty today? We ought to obey God rather than men. And I'll tell you what, as this world and even our government becomes more and more corrupt, the day's going to come when they're going to persecute this church or any church who preaches the Bible, preaches the Word. That day is coming. And when it does, we ought to obey God rather than men. Amen. They had a heart of loyalty to God. They loved God. They were going to be loyal to God. A wounded soldier of Napoleon was given an anesthetic. And when those operating on him were probing for the bullet, he said, be careful. Be careful. Because a little deeper, you will strike my heart, and my emperor is there. He had loyalty. He knew what loyalty was. Oh, I love that old song, loyalty, loyalty, loyalty to Christ. He died for me. He saved me. I'm going to obey him rather than men. I'm going to obey him rather than others. Is our Christianity emaciated today to where we cannot stand? Do we live in fear of men? Or do we have such a loyalty to God that we would obey him rather than men? That's the kind of church the early church was. They were loyal to God. But I want you to notice, thirdly, they had an interruption by the devil. Anytime you try to do something for God, the old devil wants to stop it. Do you hear me? Anytime you want to do something for the Lord, the devil will try to get you to stop. Notice what they did in verse number 17. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees. You know why they called them the Sadducees? Because they were sad, you see. All right. And were filled with indignation and laid their hands upon the apostles and put them in the common prison. Boy, the old devil woke up. Something good was happening. And the devil said, no, I got to stop that. And so he prompted his little imps, the Sadducees, to go over and, hey, put a stop to that. Put a stop to that. Well, I want to tell you, the old devil, he works. He works in our hearts and our lives. He's trying to get us to not do anything for God. You know, I don't know. But I'll tell you, you know, John R. Rice, a lady came to John R. Rice and said, Dr. Rice, how come it seems like the devil fights you more than and many others? He said, well, ma'am, if you twisted his tail as hard as I did, he'd be biting at you too. Amen? The devil, he wants to interrupt. He wants to stop something good. But I want to tell you, we ought to obey God rather than men. Obey God rather than men. There was a missionary in India. He told about an army officer who stopped to have his shoes shined by a poor Indian boy on the street. The lad launched into his task with enthusiasm and vigor, that the man was utterly amazed. Instead of an ordinary slipshod performance, with all too eagerly outstretched hand for a tip, the boy worked diligently until the leather sparkled with a brilliant luster. The officer said, why are you taking so much time to polish my boots? Well, sir, was the reply, last week Jesus came into my heart, and now I belong to him. Since then, every time I think I shine someone's shoes, I keep thinking they're his. So I want to do the very best I can. I want him to be pleased. Oh, I want him to be pleased. I want him to be pleased. Oh, you know the devil will interrupt your life. He'll send defeat, discouragement, depression. He'll send it all to you sometimes. He'll send more than you think you can handle. It's just the devil. It's just the devil. It's said that the devil once decided to go out of business, and he offered his tools for sale. They were beautifully displayed. He had trickery, hatred, jealousy, deceit, sensuality, and a whole list of other tools marked with a price. But in the center was a wedge-shaped, much-worn tool that was priced higher than any other. What is that? Satan was asked. Oh, that's discouragement, he replied. But why is it so costly? The devil replied, because I can do my evil work better than any other tool that I have. With it, I can make the lives of many folks of no value. I can make them just lie down, up, become useless, and they don't even know that I'm the one who uses it. See, the old devil, he wants to try to defeat you. But I love this story because, number four, they had a protection to continue from God. They had a protection to continue. I like this. Look at verse 19 or verse 18. And, well, they threw him in prison here in verse 18 and laid their hands upon the apostles and put them in the common prison. Notice, but the angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them forth. Hallelujah. See, the old devil was fighting them, but God greater than the devil. Are you convinced of that? Are you convinced of that? I don't mean do you know it in your head. I mean, have you got that deep in your soul that God is a whole lot greater than the devil? Because he is. That devil's going to poke and nag at you, but I want to tell you something. Greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. That old devil tries. And the reason he tries so hard is because he knows ultimately one day he's going to be defeated. One day, like one old preacher said, he said, there's a sewer in the bottom of hell. And God's going to lift the lid on that sewer and he's going to stuff the devil down there. And he's going to screw the lid down tight and the devil will be there forever and ever. You know, God's going to protect his people. When we dedicate our loyalty to God and say, Lord, I'm yours. I'm going to serve you no matter what. The devil will try, but God's protection is greater. His protection is greater. They came the next day and said, hey, where's all the prisoners? Where'd Peter go? We locked him in here. I don't know. You know where he was at? He went back to the temple and was preaching again. Amen? He started going back preaching. Man, he must have been a crazy old Baptist preacher. He just kept on preaching. He wouldn't quit. By the way, you take a preacher and you put him in jail, he just gets all the jail people in jail saved. Amen? You ain't going to get a real preacher to quit. But God protects him. You know, a part of the story that I didn't read was they came to him and told him again, you know, hey, you got to stop this preaching stuff. No more of that. And notice verse number 34. It says, then stood there up one of the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law and in reputation among all the people, commanded to put forth the apostles forth a little space. And notice what he said, verse 38. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel or work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it. If it's of God, the devil cannot defeat it. The devil cannot overthrow it. Amen. But I think it's interesting that God even allowed a Pharisee to step up to the Sadducees and tell them, hey, wait a minute, let them keep preaching. If it's of God, then good. If not, it'll fall apart. But he said, God did that. See, God was protecting his people. God was protecting his preachers. Amen. Oh, we need that kind of loyalty to God in our day and age. God will protect you. Remember those three Hebrew children that got thrown in the fiery furnace? They came out and didn't have the smell of smoke on them because there was the fourth man in the fire, the Son of God. See, God protects his people. They dropped Daniel down into a pit, a lion's den, and those hungry lions were down there. They were ready for potluck Sunday. And the old devil, or the old lion, came along and just probably as he got ready to bite Daniel, God gave the devil the lion lockjaw. He couldn't harm old Daniel. God delivered again, didn't he? God delivered again. And God is in the business of delivering his people who stand and are loyal to him. I'll never forget, years ago, a funny illustration. I was in Boulder, Colorado. I mean, liberal capital. It's like California in one town. And we were on the street corner. We were preaching. And a guy was up there preaching. And I mean, there's people walking by. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, every kind of person is in that place. And we're on Pearl Street Mall. We're street preaching. I preaching, they were preaching, and it was my turn to get up and preach. And just as I started preaching, and I started opening the Bible, and I mean, every kind of people is out there. This guy walks up to me. He's got a big old chaw on his lip. He gets right here to me. He goes this. He must have been 6'8". And he looks at me and he said, "If you don't shut your mouth, I'm going to shove my fist down your throat." You say, "What'd you do?" I felt led to go away. No. That's what he said. He's right here. I'm looking up at this guy. I'm like, oh boy, I did it now. Amen. All of a sudden, there's a hippie walking along. He was walking his bike. He had a tie-dye t-shirt and scraggly hair and little John Lennon glasses, you know. He came up, grabbed that guy, just kept walking, grabbed that guy by the arm, pulled him away from me, and he said, "Hey, freedom of speech, man, freedom of speech." And he pulled that guy away, and I just kept on preaching. Amen? Hey, God, thank God for his protection. Amen? God protects his people. Amen? I'm simply trying to say, there's a point in Scripture when we're loyal to God, God sees it. And he protects his people. He stands with you. And even the Apostle Paul said, he said, "Some had forsaken me, but God stood with me." God stood with me. God protects us when we stand. God protects us when we serve. And God protects us when we stay by him. He's our protector. Thank God for his protection. There was a story of a pilot. He's one day. He heard a gnawing noise in the fuselage of his plane. He looked back and he saw in his plane it was a rat. A rat was chewing on the cables in his plane. He knew, though, that the rodent was not made to withstand high altitudes. So, after a few minutes, he just started climbing. He looked as he climbed back, and he looked back, and he saw behind him the rat was dead because he climbed higher. I want to tell you, you know how to defeat Satan? Just climb higher. Climb higher. When he starts chewing on your wires, ready to see you go down, just climb higher. Climb higher. God will be there to protect you. We ought to obey God rather than men. Well, lastly, can I say that God used them to impact other people's lives? You know what's wonderful about God is God can take even the small things that we do and impact our life. God can take a little thing. There's a lady in the Bible. She had a little bit of ointment. And all she wanted to do was go in and pour it on Jesus' head. The disciples were waste. Let's take the ointment and sell it and give the money to the poor. But Jesus said, "No, let her alone." She came in and took that box of ointment and she poured it on the head of Jesus. When she did, Jesus said, "Wherever you go, let what this woman has done for me be a memorial to her." See, God remembers our love and our loyalty to him. And God protects us and takes care of us. You see, God, ultimately in life, when we're loyal to God, somehow it affects others for the good. Isn't that what we want to be doing in life, is bringing others up, bringing others to Christ, encouraging others? pulling them in God's direction. And when we serve God with a loyal heart, God takes what we do and he blesses us. I like verse 41. And they departed. Notice verse 41. And they departed from the presence of the council. What's the next word? Rejoicing. They were rejoicing. The council gave up on them. Amen. They beat them, slapped them on the hand a little bit, said, now don't you go preaching anymore. What did they do? They went back preaching. We're loyal to God. And they said, we got to obey God rather than men. God blessed them. God grew the church and disciples were multiplied. Look at chapter 6 and verse 1. It says, in those days when the number of the disciples was what? Multiplied. Did this incident hurt the church or help the church? It helped the church because they saw God's hand protecting them in the midst of their loyalty. God is a rewarder of our faith. God will not allow your faith to fall on the ground unnoticed. He'll see it and he'll reward you. God, we're reminded in Hebrews 11, he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. There's an old legend of a kind and benevolent king who had placed a great and heavy stone on a certain roadway over which all his subjects would have to travel. He then hid himself in the bushes to see who would come along and try to remove the stone. No one stopped to try to remove it, but all worked their way around it, loudly blaming the king for not keeping the roadway clear. Finally, one poor peasant farmer on his way to town with a load of vegetables, which he'd hoped to sell in the marketplace, came to the blocked roadway. He laid down his load, and with considerable effort and loss of time, he managed to move that great stone to the side of the roadway. Then, turning to leave, he noticed a purse which had been left under the stone. He opened that purse and found it to be filled with gold and a note from the king indicating that it was all to be the property of the one who removed the stone. I say to you today that God too, is a faithful rewarder of them that diligently seek him and put their faith in God. When the obstacles in life are removed by faith in God, we find the great reward of God and faith. Now let me close this morning and tell you that there's no reward of faith greater than the reward of heaven. There's no reward greater. And someday we're all going to pass from this life into death. But when we do, do you know you're going to be in heaven? Will heaven be yours? Will heaven be your home? I say to you today, put your faith in God. You could trust the Lord Jesus right now. Right here today, you can put your faith and be saved, and he'll save you today. Would you trust him today? Let's bow our heads this morning.